Now, yesterday, the Court of Appeal made a ruling which could pave the way for gay and lesbian couples to adopt here in Northern Ireland. At the minute, a single gay or lesbian person can adopt a child here, but a couple in a civil partnership cannot. Moves to change the law and allow gay couples to adopt were stopped after the Health Minister lodged an appeal. Edwin Poots brought the legal challenge after an earlier decision by Belfast High Court that ruled that the current adoption ban on gay and lesbian couples was unlawful. Peter Linus from the Evangelical Alliance. Morning to you, Peter.
Good morning.
And Peter McGrath. Is it McGrath, Peter?
It's McGrath.
McGrath, an adoptive gay parent himself. Peter Lance, we'll call you Pete for the sake of having two Peters here, so that's clear. So Poots has lost this appeal.
He has lost the appeal. Yes, Pete here. And the simple issue at play here is about the best interest of the child. And we're actually very fortunate in Northern Ireland. Certainly when we last checked, there were more people wanting to adopt than there were needing to be adopted. The Evangelical Alliance has been working with churches and others to keep that pool large. We've been encouraging many to come into fostering and adoption. And perhaps the biggest scandal here is the length of time it takes to adopt somebody. It's well over 3 years. But the key is the best interest of the child, and the evidence is overwhelmingly that the most stable form of environment is a married couple relationship. And that evidence has been put forward by the Centre for Social Justice in their Breakdown Britain report. And that's really clear.
This is about equality, though, Pete, isn't it? This is about what the court presumably is saying here is that how on earth can you justify saying to two decent people who happen to be gay, you are not fit enough to adopt?
Well, just to be clear, what the law was before was that any unmarried couple weren't able to adopt. So it wasn't, I mean, the implications of this on the gay community are significant, but in reality, 1% of the population here is gay. The bigger change is actually for unmarried couples. And that's where the concern is from many organisations. By a child's fifth birthday, 92% of married couples are still together, but only 48% of cohabiting couples. And that is a risk with very vulnerable children.
What about couples who are in a civil partnership? What percentage of them remain together?
Of which, sorry?
Partnership? Yes.
Yeah. So the stats in Northern Ireland are too limited, but in countries like Sweden and Norway that have had same-sex unions for a much longer period of time. So in Norway, same-sex couples are 1.5 times more likely to split up. And in Sweden, male unions are 50% more likely to end in divorce.
Peter?
Sorry, me, you mean?
Yes.
Well, my concern here is, I think this is progress. And to quote Lord Justice Girvan, he says that this does put the focus on the interests of the child. And I believe that. I mean, I think that's exactly what's happening here. This is very good news for children in the care system. Now, if there are sufficient numbers of prospective adopters in Northern Ireland, that's a good thing. But this move allows for a joined-up system of matching across the UK, where there is too many children in the care system and far too few good prospective adopters.
And that's actually true in England and Wales, which does have the wider pool, but not in Northern Ireland, which allows...
What I'm saying, Peter, though, is that this allows for joined-up matching of children across the UK. I mean, if you care about children in the care system, then you should be interested that now gay people in any part of the UK could be matched with children in any other part of the UK.
And, Peter, my response would be, if you're concerned about the best interest of the child, and you are, I know you are, then you know the overwhelming evidence that a married couple is significantly, substantially more stable than a cohabiting couple and also than a civil partnership, and that evidence is overwhelming and you're aware of it. So that's why we need
to... No, I cannot agree with that. And I think you should be looking at the information that's come from the recent study from the Cambridge Centre for Family Research, which is the first actual in-depth study of adoptive families, whether they be with heterosexual, gay or lesbian parents, and the outcomes for children in all of those families look much the same.
Lord Justice Girvan's comments were quite interesting. He said the Department of Health had put forward, quote, no justification to exclude same-sex couples as parties eligible to adopt as a couple. He also said there was no explanation why same-sex partners were deemed ineligible once they publicly cement their relationship. And he said This cannot provide a rational basis or justification for the different treatment of those in a civil partnership compared to same-sex couples outside a civil partnership. He went on. He also expressed regret. This is Lord Justice Girvan. Expressed regret that until recently, the Department of Health's own website failed to give correct advice on the issue. Thomas, morning to you, Thomas.
Morning.
What do you think?
Morning, Stephen. What I think's being left out of this whole equation is the effect it's going to have on the children who are going to be adopted by these same-sex couples. Imagine a situation, they're at school, and the other children are talking about the mothers and fathers, and this poor child lumbered with, we'll say, for example, two males. He can't talk about his mother. He'd be ridiculed by the rest of the class because he's got two fathers. It's totally and utterly ridiculous. It should be stopped in its tracks.
And when you say lumbered with two fathers?
Well, you know how cruel children can be to each other. Now, once the other children in that class find out that this particular child has got two fathers, they will be the butt of jokes for their whole school childhood. We haven't heard any talk about, you know, the result that this will have on the actual child. It's all about giving the rights to people to get married who shouldn't be getting married anyway, which is my own personal view on it. But at the end of the day, the children who are sucked into this are going to suffer and suffer greatly.
So what is worse, those same children you're talking about, let's say that they're in a violent home. Well, what's worse, someone in a violent home?
No, it's not a question. The violent home isn't the centre issue
here. Would you prefer a child to be in care rather than being in the private home with two loving people who happen to be gay? Is that what you prefer, that they would be in care?
Do you mind if I answer the question? The children that are in these violent homes can be found homes where there is a proper marriage of a man and a woman.
You're defining what is proper.
No, what I'm defining is this, that you've moved away from my original contention here, by the way. The child is going to suffer. Now, if there's a child at the moment suffering in a violent home,
the child could benefit.
Let the authorities find for them a proper, stable man and woman home to put them into.
And tell me why two men loving a child, going out to work, or indeed two women, going out to work in order to feed that child, clothe that child, love that child.
My opening statement answered that question. So if you would listen to what I'm saying, that child, because of the circumstances that they would be in with two fathers, would be the subject and the object of ridicule and years of torment by their peers.
Well, that would be up to the authorities and the schools to protect that child, and up to society, if they felt it was wrong, to stop that happening. You could say the same about a child with ginger hair going to school. You could say the same about a child who is fat going to school. You could say it's the same about a child who is poor going to school and maybe can't have the same clothes as other children. Yeah, you know, bullying goes on.
There's certain gauges to it. And what I'm suggesting is that is the top line where the child would suffer. I mean, to make a comparison between being bullied because you're ginger hair and being bullied because you live through your whole school life because you've got two fathers.
William wants to speak to you, Thomas. Morning, William.
Would be unbearable.
Go ahead, William. You can speak to Thomas. Go on, William.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Thomas. Thomas, yes, I'm just listening to one of Stephen's said that this child, when going to school, will be lumbered with either two males or two females as parents. It's called education, Thomas. People will have to be
educated. No, there's no education.
Hear him out, Thomas.
You're on the wrong subject. You're on the wrong subject.
Well, hear him out, Thomas, and then you can... Thomas, listen to him, and then you can reply, Thomas. Listen to him.
You see, Thomas, this is the attitude when you try to jump in. This is always going to happen. What is wrong with two males or two females fostering a child? It's called education. the sooner we're all educated to this particular issue, the better.
Well, the education you're talking about directing to the male and female adults. I'm talking about kids in school who you will not educate to stop bullying and making life a misery for these children that happen to be in their class and are lumbered with these same-sex parents.
There's that same word you've used again, lumbered. What does this mean, lumbered, Thomas? What does this mean? Explain it to me.
I'll tell you exactly what it means, and I've already said it, so I'm not going to repeat it the third time, so listen to it this time. School children are of a cruel nature.
Okay. Obviously, we've just lost him. We'll see if we can come back to him.
Yeah. Well,
here's Colin. Morning, Colin.
Hello,
Colin.
Or morning, Stephen. Why are you bullying people?
On the phones, Peter Lannis. How do you respond to what's just been said there?
Well, it goes back. I mean, my question for somebody like William, I think we just lost him, would be the overwhelming evidence is that that both civil partnerships or gay relationships and cohabiting relationships are not as stable. And we know one of the biggest causes of difficulty for children is around the breakdown. So that's why we've always pushed see children placed in married relationships. They are significantly more stable. So and given that we have enough of those couples in Northern Ireland wanting to adopt, then why would we change the rules and take the risk with these vulnerable children and place them in relationships that are fundamentally less stable? And I keep pushing people within the gay community and others in the adoption community to say, why are you taking this risk? Show me evidence to the contrary, and it doesn't seem to be there. We've looked at all the evidence, so we want it. It's all about the children. The scandal is it takes 3 years to get them adopted, not because of the size of the pool. That's looking at this the wrong way. And what we've done is put the rights of adults, the rights of individuals, ahead of the best interest of the child. And that is a serious mistake to do at this moment.
That's not at all correct, Peter. And I understand the concerns of Thomas. He's concerned that children will have a hard time if they have gay or lesbian parents.